The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the chief steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. And I wanted to talk to you guys a little tiny bit about prayer. But to talk about prayer, I'm going to use Fox and Socks, because I think this is the connection to us. Prayer is sometimes one of those things that is hard at times. We don't know if we're doing it right. So let me read something really fast from this book to show you that I might not be doing it right either. This page right here, I'm going to read to you, okay? It's silly. It's really silly, okay? Try to say this, Mr. Knox, please. Through three cheese trees, three free fleas flew, while these fleas flew, freezy breeze blew. Freezy breeze made these three trees freeze. Freezy trees made these trees cheese freeze. That's what made these three free fleas sneeze. A little crazy, huh? It's kind of a silly book because it's just a lot of tongue twisters. Do you know what a tongue twister is? That. When you can't get through it, when you're trying to do that. But I was thinking that sometimes prayer feels like that because we don't always know what to say. We don't always know if we are able to do it as well as somebody else. And maybe you'll hear somebody else pray sometime and it'll sound really pretty and eloquent. Sometimes that doesn't help us want to pray more. But I want to remind you that prayer is not about what we do. It's what God does with our prayers. So, give me a good word for prayer. What should we lift up in prayer today? Can you give me one word for prayer? Somebody who we should pray for? No, you don't want to do that? What? Your papa that died. Okay. And you know what, when we say that, we don't always know what to say. But we believe that prayer, though we don't know how, we know it matters. We don't quite know how. But I want to show you a special, this is kind of magic, okay? This is one of these little, this is magic paper, and I don't want you to try this at home. Because you need this special paper, and you need a mom and dad supervising. But this shows what prayer does in our life. See, when we pray to God, it's not our prayers that are special. What's special is that it goes to God. And so watch this. This is kind of neat and fun. Oh, please work. It didn't work. It fell down. Okay, let me try it one more time. All right, I'm going to write that one more time. Wow, it worked last night. It's not supposed to fall. If I can get this to stay. This is why I never became a magician, by the way. Please stay. Well, it's supposed to go up in the air. Should we see if it works? And you can say, Pastor, maybe you shouldn't do that one next time. This is, oh my goodness. I had it all ready. Well, you know what? There's a lesson in this too. It reminds us that even when prayer looks awkward and doesn't seem to work from our perspective,
it does.
I like to say that to make it sound like I meant to do this. Come on, I can't get it to stay. Oh, please. Here we go. Now you're expecting a lot, I know. Don't fall.
So it comes to God is the idea.
Whoop.
But the idea of this isn't, it's a magic trick. But what I wanted you to see is that our prayers, it's not us that makes them go to God. It's God that takes them. We don't understand what God is all going to do, but we trust that God is who God says God is and that God hears our prayers. Can you pray with me? Dear God, hear my prayers and help them to come to you to make our world better. Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Nobody needs to say to me afterwards, you may want to think twice about that children's sermon next time. I got it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've shared this before, but I need to share it again. Jonah still says it every once in a while, too. It's my favorite line before bed when he does. He gets into bed and he says, Daddy, what should I dream about? It's the gift and the power of a relationship of a father and son. The idea that as a father, I may be able to influence his dreams is humbling. It's a beautiful gift. In a world where scarcity and fear still hold a lot of power. And as the child sleeps, my mind goes to the fear of the parents of the bridegroom in today's story at the wedding. You know, that we might run out, that there isn't going to be enough, that we want this to be a celebration, but maybe it won't be. But the child still says, Dad, help me to dream. And so I think again about that bridegroom's parents. Tomorrow the wine will run out, the party will end, the joy will be a memory. In a world so often built on scarcity, our story today is a beautiful story of abundance that overcomes what we would expect. That's what this story is about. In our world, when it seems to be falling apart, we tell the world of Jesus. We believe in one that speaks, and the story itself changes. We believe in what seems to be a dream. I don't think it's coincidence that this is the first miracle that is shared in the book of John. Sometimes when we see that, we just assume, well, it probably happened first. I don't think so, especially since the book of John was the last written. This story of Jesus turning water into wine, the gospel that was probably written, this is the last written, probably written as the first generation of Christians were gone or almost gone. Dwindling. Their numbers, that generation, you just looked around and you realized there wasn't very many left. As a group of Christians gathered and wondered, I bet sometimes the questions were, I hope I can have just as much faith as Grandma did. I want to keep this church going, but I don't know if what I have is enough. I think they told this story because it gave them hope. In the midst of that fear, they told the simple story because it gave them hope, one in which Jesus spoke and everything changed. But this is the basics of our belief, isn't it? This is it, right there. Over and over again, this is the story of Scripture in Genesis. From the beginning, God spoke, and it was. God took a formless void and brought life. God saw everything and said, "It is good," and it was. And Jesus spoke and said over and over again, "Your faith has made you well," and it was. And Jesus spoke to each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit in baptism and has said, "You are sealed with the cross of Christ and you are marked by the Holy Spirit forever." And it is. And so we live to the God who speaks miracles into reality. We do. But we don't always. Do we? I mean, the reality of how we live out our life, we don't always. We don't always live up to that level of belief. Is it fear, discouragement, or plain old disbelief? What stops us from believing in a God that can create with a voice? What stops us from a faith that will move mountains? What brings us to fear as a centering instead of faith? The tension of faith and disbelief can captivate us as we consider our faith and how we live it out. And yet, at the center of our story, we believe, is the Holy Spirit, God that can come and enter us and be a part of our actions, our lives. The Holy Spirit that promises to never leave us. This is the dream that we tell, that we believe. It is this power that's bigger than ourselves, a voice of hope that unites instead of dividing, a voice that says, "You are not alone," a voice that says, echoing the mother of Jesus, "Just do whatever he says. Jesus has got this." And you may not believe it, not always. But the dream that we share together is that trusting in the power of Christ Jesus, God's got this. Returning to the children's sermon, as muddled as it was, the book Fox and Socks, we have a large group of tongue twisters. I always think, as I read through this, I always felt like this probably delights the children more than it delights the parents when it's read. Delights the children because it isn't easy to speak. It's absurd, but fun. And do you remember what the first line of the book is? I'll get you a coffee if you can remember. It says, "Take it slowly. This book is dangerous." As a parent, it could make the best of readers flub up. And I think the giggles that would come from children is probably what this book is about. As a theologian, if I transfer this, whoa, I almost walked right off. As a theologian, I realize that if I transfer this to my faith life, maybe that's what it's about right there. And maybe that's the connection to that book, to our gospel today, that we have to admit that we have struggles in our faith. And that perhaps those struggles are one of our greatest gifts. When our children see us struggle, we don't think so. We struggle with the idea of them seeing us struggle. But perhaps in their own faith life, if they realize that in their journey, it's okay. We don't always have it all together. We don't know what to do with our world today, not every day. And we trust in Jesus, but it wavers.
and those who have never heard the gospel or feel immature in their own faith, to know that a mature Christian might say that, might flub up those words, that can be a gift, that we might come together and dream more together. It reminds me that our faith is always based on a hope that there is more through a God that loves us. That's pretty profound right there. Our faith is based on a hope that there is more through a God that loves us. And this doesn't mean that we won't struggle. This doesn't mean that wine doesn't indeed sometimes run out. But what it does mean is that we trust in one who restores our faith, because indeed the faith comes outside of ourselves from God. Like prayers, we don't always know how it works. We don't know all the intricacies, but we trust in the promise. Trust that God can take a formless void and speak and bring life. God can take emptiness and fill it. God can take darkness and bring light. We have the stories, all of these stories in Scripture. We tell them not because we always believe them. Indeed, we tell them because we want to believe them. And sometimes don't. And sometimes we're struggling. And sometimes we need somebody else to tell the story for us. But we keep telling the story because we want a dream of hope. And we need to overcome scarcity and fear to bring life. Daddy, tell me what to dream about. So we tell the stories. The stories that give us hope, the impossible ones, the amazing ones, the beautiful ones. And our stories get interspersed with God's stories. As I think about the church and our world today, I know there's a lot of things that scare us. We see a lot of troubles. We're going to keep telling the stories, and we're going to figure this out together. Because we know to be the church of tomorrow, it won't be us that does it. It will be God through us. Amen. Join us in our sacred space and all the ways we can respond to God's word. Come and place a cross where you pray.